Dear friends, in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Unique to Luke's gospel is the telling of Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. It comes in response to this conversation with the lawyer asking the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And what does it mean to be neighbor? Well, Jesus says, look to the law, Mr. Lawyer. It says plainly in front of you what is required. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus must have thought this would suffice as a response, but the lawyer takes it a step further, asking that question, then, who is my neighbor? What are the parameters around which I should fulfill this law that you put before me? Tell me what the rules are and if there are any exceptions. And are we any different as we think about neighbor? As we wonder for ourselves in hearing this again, who is my neighbor? I don't know if it's true for you, but as I mentioned in the children's word, when I think of neighbor, I immediately go to the people who live on either side of my house or across the street. I think about neighbors that were near to me as I was growing up. Currently, I have neighbors that I have known a little bit now over the 8 years in the house I currently reside in, and I would have to say I like them for the most part. But currently, that's kind of funny, isn't it? You read into that, didn't you? I like them for the most part, but I would say currently, I love my neighbors. Do you know why? Because of the snow, right? I love my neighbors. We have a system, people. We have a way of clearing our sidewalks. I'm out there with the snowblower and I give a little signal and they're like, yep, I'll take care of this sidewalk, you take care of that sidewalk. We have a whole thing going on. It's pretty awesome. And in the midst of all this adversity, it seems like we are there for each other. We are at the end of our driveways shoveling out, saying words that aren't appropriate for worship. And I go across the lane and I talk to my neighbor. I have not talked to him this much in the 5 years since he moved in. And we share the woes of the day, but also we share a bit about our lives. It's been amazing how this adversity has drawn us together. It's true, isn't it? Sometimes when we find ourselves vulnerable, it opens us up to the vulnerability of others. I was struck by an interview that was on the news recently of an area farmer, a farmer from Chatfield. You probably saw something similar. He was interviewed because the buildings on his farm, the roofs had collapsed due to the weight of the snow and had taken out a great portion of his cattle. It forced them then to sell most of the herd as well as to shut down their dairy farm business. In the midst of his adversity, you could tell there was great grief involved. But when asked what he had done that day, the farmer said, "I was helping my neighbor clear the snow from their roofs so that they would not suffer the same calamity." Something about being vulnerable, something about adversity has the opportunity to open us up to help the neighbor. In the midst of hearing this lesson for today, the lawyer invites Jesus into a conversation because he wants to know what he must do to inherit eternal life. He wants that to-do list so that he knows what it means to be a good neighbor. He opens himself up to the questions that it would be interesting for us to know as well. And Jesus' parable that follows simply helps him to see his place in the story. The man that is struck down on the side of the road in the parable likely has something that the robbers want to take from him. Perhaps he is quite wealthy, and perhaps this shows, and so they want to strip him of any wealth he may have. Or perhaps it is that they just want to show that they have the upper hand. Whatever it is, we see the vulnerability in the man to be that which is undeserved beating, undeserved stealing of his merchandise, whatever he has on him, undeserved near-death experience on the side of the road. And the beauty of this parable, again, is that no matter how many times we have heard it, we find ourselves within it. For perhaps today you feel as vulnerable as the man on the side of the road. Or perhaps you have found yourself to be the one who has passed by that stranded motorist in the midst of the storm. Or maybe you have been moved to acts of compassion and mercy for the sake of the other. Wherever you find yourself in this story, Jesus comes to you again with a word of grace, of promise, of mercy. Recently, my husband and I have been watching the Weather Channel quite a bit. And in watching that, we discovered there's actually some decent programming on the channel. There's one show that recently captured our attention. The name of the show is SOS, How to Survive. Anybody seen this show? It features each episode a situation where someone finds themselves in a life or death circumstance battling the elements. So, for example, a family was heading off to the Grand Canyon, took some side roads, found themselves in a pass in the mountains, and a freak snowstorm had them stranded there. The story chronicles their attempt to survive in the midst of terrible circumstances. Another episode was a woman and her daughter who had been lost in the desert, and the heat and all of the adversity they faced left her daughter nearly dead. Creek Stewart, the host of this show, gives a helpful SOS or survival kind of hint in each episode, including for being lost in the snowstorm, an opportunity for you to use the resources you have in a backpack, in the car, whatever is available. He taught you how on this one episode to make a fire out of kindling and the batteries connected on a remote telephone charger. Or lost in the desert, he said, you can make sunscreen out of your own saliva and the chalk found on rocks in the desert. Place it on your skin and you have protection. He says, it's all up to you. You can survive until help arrives. The lawyer wanted to know what the SOS, how he could survive. It was up to him. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He says to Jesus. But Jesus turns that on its side to remind him, to draw him back to the source of strength, love of God. And from love of God will come love of neighbor. How interesting that he wants this kind of clear parameter. How interesting that he wants that to-do list. But how true is it for us as well? How often do we wish there was just a simple checklist as to what it means to be a good Christian, a good Samaritan? How quickly we fall into the if-then, the cause and effect kind of faith. If I do this, maybe this will come upon me. If I am just good enough, maybe God will provide this for me or my family. And yet faith is not about this cause and effect. It is about a covenant promise of a God who has come for you, who has come fully in the person of Jesus Christ to give of himself so fully for you that our response is simply to help our neighbor in need. No more fully are we drawn back into this sort of relationship than in the season of Lent. I think from the outside, those who are perhaps not of the same tradition as we are with this Lenten season may look at us as trying to fulfill some sort of must-do list. I mean, to be called to sacrificial giving and acts of service, to have time for self-reflection and repentance, to have a whole season set apart for prayer and fasting. Why, that must be because you want to earn something or get right with God. It is an invitation, friends. As we gathered for worship on Ash Wednesday, we were invited into this season. Invited into the fullness of what God intends for you and for me, a fullness of embracing God's grace again, so much so that we can rid ourselves of those things that for now seem to be fulfilling, but for the future there is a gift beyond compare. The season of Lent draws us closer to the cross to realize the great gift of Jesus entering into our darkest places of suffering and loss and struggle, and out of that, creating new life, eternal life for you and for me. So you see, the good news of this season of Lent is drawn into relationship again. Having that reset button in this season helps open us up again to the service of the neighbor. So that when we are vulnerable, Jesus will meet your need. When you find yourself compelled to help the neighbor, Jesus will be your hands and your feet. When you are the one who passes by on the other side, Jesus draws you back through repentance and forgiveness. And in those beautiful moments, when you completely lose yourself because of the compassion you feel in your heart and you care for a neighbor with no expectation of anything in return, why then the kingdom of God is most clearly experienced and seen. This is what it means to be neighbor. As I shared with the children, it was growing up that there were great examples of neighborliness, and some of those included some television shows with a man named Mr. Rogers. Right away, you knew him, right? Fred Rogers, and perhaps you remember that Fred Rogers was also an ordained Presbyterian minister. His calling was unique. He was called to teach children using the medium of television. In his later years of life, often interviewed and asked for his wisdom, he would share stories. One of the stories was this one, told about his mother.
You know, my mother used to say, long time ago, whenever there would be any really catastrophe that was in the movies or on the air, she would say, always look for the helpers. There will always be helpers, you know, even just on the sidelines. That's why I think that if news programs could make a conscious effort of showing rescue teams, of showing who medical people, anybody who is coming into a place where there's a tragedy, to be sure that they include that. Because if you look for the helpers, you'll know that there's hope.
If you look for the helpers, you'll know there is hope. Jesus concludes his conversation with the lawyer by saying, go and do likewise. Show acts of mercy and compassion and kindness so that the world may know of hope. Hope in a gracious and loving God who has come for you, for me. For where does our help come from? As the psalmist says, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.